Rose here. Rylander.
Rylander.
Rylander here. Smith.
Smith here.
Smith here. Udell.
Udell here.
Udell here. Veldren.
Here.
Veldren here. Wegleitner.
Here.
Wegleitner here. Weigand. Weigand. Welsh.
Welsh here.
Welsh here. Yang. Yang here. Andre. Andre here. Blazewitz.
Blazewitz here.
Blazewitz here. Betcher. Betcher.
Betcher here.
Betcher here. Bollig.
Bollig's here.
Bollig here. Brower.
Brower here.
Brower here. Chavla. Chavla absent. Collins. Collins here. Doolin.
Doolin here.
Doolin here. Doolin here. Downing.
Downing here.
Downing here. Doyle. Doyle here. Eicher. Eicher absent, I think. Engelberger. Engelberger here. Erickson. Erickson here. Freeze. Freeze here. Glazer. Glazer, Gray, Gray, Huselman,
Huselman here,
Huselman here, Jackson, Jackson here, Kemp,
Kemp here,
Kemp here, Kageya, Kageya here, Crowning, Crowning here, Marin,
Marin here,
Marin here, McCarville,
McCarville here,
McCarville here, Peters, Peters here, Peterson,
Peterson here,
Peterson here, Postler.
Hostler here.
Hostler here. Miles.
Miles here.
Miles here. We have a quorum.
All right. With the quorum being present, we'll proceed. Our next item on the agenda is Pledge of Allegiance. So if you'd please rise if you wish to do so.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Next, we're on to special matters and announcements. Anyone have an announcement? All right. Seeing no announcements, we'll move on then to our next item, and I'll go ahead and open the public hearing on the county executive's proposed 2025 budget. And so the process for those here to speak to this, the process for the hearing tonight is I'll go ahead and call the names in order of who's next to speak. You can come up to one of the two podiums if you're here in person, and you'll have up to 5 minutes to address the board. We'll do our best to let you know if you use the full 5 minutes when you have about a minute left. I don't think we have that many registrants, but if we have more than 10 registrants, I'll pause after 10 registrants speak to see if any county board supervisors have questions for the previous 10 speakers, and then we'll move on from there. We do have some registrants that who are going to be using some interpretation services. So I'll be calling on those folks, and we'll give them obviously more time, given the fact that to allow for the time for translation. So I'll call on the first person to speak, and then identify the person who's on deck to speak after. All right, so with that, our first registrant wishing to speak in support is Kong Jean. And you'll have up to Kong Jean. Welcome.
Hi. Okay, hi all. Nong Jean.
Hello,
everyone.
The reason why we came to America is because we lost our land, our country, and that's why we're here. We're here as refugees. We're just not here as a tribe without a name. We're here because we have a purpose.
And
My husband was a soldier veteran that worked alongside General Vang Pao during the Vietnam War from 1960 to 1975. Because of the war, we couldn't stay in Laos any longer. So then we migrated to Laos, and we migrated to Thailand. Then he died in Thailand. And then we had the opportunity to come to America, but we also need a lot of help. And the reason why all of you, the board is here, is because I want you all to know that we need your help and that we serve a purpose in this country as well. And that's all that I have to say. I have a lot to say, but I know that time is limited, so I'm just going to say this much. Thank you.
Thank you, Kong. Next is Bay Air Ya, to be followed by Dua Vang.
My name is Bei He Yang.
Hello
to everybody here with honor.
I
have a few words that I'd like to express. I am a wife of a veteran. My husband was a soldier, a veteran from
1963 to 1975.
My husband also came to America, but then fortunately died on June of
2003.
Today, I am 76 years old. My birthday is
April 8, 1948.
So I would like the board to be aware that the reason why I'm here today is because we need help. We would like to have somebody that can, we would like to have some support and finances that can help with having a staff that can speak and translate Hmong to our Hmong community.
I
I came from Healing Center organization, and right now we are currently facing some challenges. We need some support with transportation, rides to get to places. And we like to have a little bit of support to have to be able to have another staff to come and help us out with our community because we struggle a lot. Thank you so much for your all of you for being here today and your time, and I hope that you will consider what I just said and help us out and love us too. And this is all that I have to say.
Thank you. Okay, next will be Dua Vang. Dua Vang to be followed by Caitlin Lee.
Hello. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. My name is Dua Vang, and I'm the executive director of Southeast Asia Healing Center. I'm here tonight to speak in support of the Hmong bilingual interpreter that interim director Kemi Jamie Kung and Ian Kumir put into the budget. And thank you for their understanding the importance of this role in our community. The Hmong community, eventually Hmong population has been in Dan County for the last 3 or 4 decades, but we continue to have challenges in terms of language differences. Language barrier is one of our main concerns. And we are part of the community. We pay taxes like everyone else. Having a dedicated bilingual person would address these challenges. This role would serve as a vital bridge between Hmong speaker and the local government or local county, and by ensuring this resident to ensure that our community are served properly and to get the services that we are so needed. As you can see, we're serving the elderly population in this community who do not speak English. And as a second language speaker, we are working 2 jobs and working twice as much as a mainstream American to compete in this community, to earn a living, to survive in this community. Sometimes parents who are having children staying by themselves at home or with grandparents who speak no languages, no English, and they have to go to 2 jobs in order to make ends meet in this community. And we, like I said, we pay taxes as well. So I will highly and strongly support of hiring a Hmong interpreter to help the folks who are getting old every day and allow the family to continue to compete in living in this community. So thank you very much, and I would like you, the board, to approve this and then to help our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dua. Next is Caitlin Lee, to be followed by Ann Maastricht, I think is how you pronounce the last name.
Hi, my name is Caitlin Lee. I work at the Southeast Asian Healing Center as a program coordinator. I've been working there since 2022, and it might not seem like I've been working there for very long, but I've learned so much in the past couple years. I'm here in support of this interpreter position at the county. Ever since I've worked there, it's very clear that there's a gap between the support that the elders get and the support that they deserve. I just want to say that we've been here for, the Hmong community has been here for 50 years, and we tried very hard to assimilate and to not just to survive, but to thrive. And I think that's what we deserve, through this position. I mean, I just want to invite everyone here to come visit the center and just see, like, we do need the support. I don't know what people were thinking when they said that the Hmong community doesn't need the support, but I invite you all to come to the center and to break bread and to meet the elders and to see what kind of services we provide and what kind of funding and the support we need. And it's not just the healing center. It's every program that supports the Hmong community and our Hmong elders. I feel like this interpreter position is so crucial because as a second generation Hmong American, it's very clear that there is a gap of understanding the Hmong language between the younger generation and the older generation. As our Hmong youth continue to get older, it's very rare for them to speak Hmong accurately and effectively to communicate with the rest of their elders. And so that's why I believe, like, because Hmong youth are, like, around my age, might not be able to support the elders and their parents or their aunts and uncles, that's why it's so important for us to have this interpreter position. Because without them, we won't have the representation in our local government. This position, we wouldn't have known about it without Brenda reaching out to us. So that's why it's so important to have a Hmong person or Hmong interpreter to participate or be a part of the council, because we really didn't know, and I think it's really unfortunate that we don't know, and we aren't, our community, I know, would love to support this, but it's just not reaching out to us, it's not getting to us. So if we were able to have an interpreter position, we would be able to properly support the Hmong community to allow us to thrive in the United States of America and to support our youth and to support other communities too. Because this position not only supports the Hmong community, but it allows us to support other communities as well. So thank you all.
Caitlin, next is Ann Maastricht, to be followed by Eric Anderson.
Good evening. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you tonight. My name is Ann Maastricht. You were really close, really close. Good job. And I'm the executive director at Sunshine Place. I want to start by thanking you all for your service. I know it's a lot of work, and especially during this budget time. And then also thanks for this opportunity to share about our work at Sunshine Place. Sunshine Place is a primary resource hub for those facing hardship in Eastern Dane County. And while we're based in Sun Prairie, our reach really extends well into the county, with more and more families coming to us from Marshall, East Madison, and all the rural counties that surround us. We provide this single location where people can access food, housing assistance, and other essential services. Sunshine Place Programs is really operated primarily by volunteers. We have just a really small staff that supports those volunteers and then also provides our housing services. And then thanks to the county, we also have co-located at our location, and we partner with many agencies, including Joining Forces for Families, Central Hispano, RISE Early Childhood, Tenant Resource Center, and Public Health. And that allows us to really just offer a full range of services to the families that are coming to our doors each day. I'm really proud to share with you that we were recently recognized as a model agency in the Dane County 5-year plan to end homelessness. It's nothing we applied for. It's not like the top 40 businesses to work for in Sun Prairie. I was looking through the packet, and there we were named as a model agency. And it's really this model that you helped established by bringing in Joining Forces for Family and Tenant Resource Center. It's this co-location coupled with volunteers providing these services in one location. It's going to be no surprise to any of you that the demand for our services has surged. You're hearing it from probably all the nonprofits like us, and we know we're hearing it. Patron visits to the food pantry have increased over 500% since January of 2020. Calls into our housing assistance we've seen an increase of 60% this year over last year. And one of the sad statistics, I think, is our Sun Prairie School District, at the end of this last school year, had over 300 kids classified as homeless, compared to 184 the year before. None of this is related to population growth. Maybe that's a little bit, but really, it's what you're hearing, what you know. It's the cost of housing, it's the cost of food and other essentials. And so that brings us to really a critical moment for Sunshine Place. A major portion of our current facilities are aging and facing serious issues with infrastructure, accessibility, and security. And we're dealing with outdated plumbing, roofing, HVAC systems, and other challenges that will make it hard for us to meet the community's needs for the long term. And that's why I'm here tonight to ask for your support to keep the $2 million of funding in the 2025 capital budget to help us rebuild and renovate. This new facility that we have planned will offer a safe, accessible, and consolidated space, bringing all of our services under one roof for easier access for our clients coming to our doors, but then also even greater collaboration among all the agencies co-located there. It also will allow us to expand because we're completely out of space, and we hear it from our clients, and we know that there's a need for mental health services and education and education and employment services. And really, I think Ms. Lee just said it, to help not only people survive, but to thrive. That's really what we ultimately want to get to.
And you have about a minute left.
Okay, thank you. So this vision that we've come up with is not ours alone. It's been with a lot of community input and strategic planning. We've tried to align them not only with the county goals, but also our own local goals. And we are a trusted resource in Eastern Dane County, and we're really committed to be here for the long haul for those that need the help. But we need your partnership. And so that's why I'm here tonight. And with your support, we can really ensure that Sunshine Place remains that essential hub of services for those in need. So thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for commitment to this. Thank you for helping those that are most vulnerable and marginalized in our communities.
Thank you. The next speaker is Eric Anderson, to be followed by Mark Thompson.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, County Board Supervisors, for the opportunity to speak this evening. Local 65, AFSCME, has a number of operating budget amendment proposals that didn't make the agenda for Public Works meeting this week. And so looking for sponsors for these to potentially go directly to Personnel and Finance. These are all budget neutral amendments. The first one is the on Henry Vilas Zoo. AFSCME, this is a joint proposal from AFSCME Local 1871 as well as 65. The employee groups opposed the addition of another full-time education coordinator and instead proposed the creation of a much needed part-time 0.6 event coordinator at a cost of $68,500 already budgeted for the education coordinator position. We continuously hear about the success of our education programs, yet we have not come close to our potential with fundraising events post-separation from the Zoological Society. We believe increasing the cost of the educational programs at the zoo is contrary to our DEI efforts, and a part-time event coordinator has the potential to increase revenues much more substantially and offer events catered to diverse groups in our community while saving the $32,400 GPR to be spent below for regular part-time zookeepers. But before I get to that, I want to read a statement from 1871, the Professionals Union. The zoo has not had any full-time event staff since 2019, when the Zoological Society had 6 staff dedicated to events. Currently, our marketing coordinator, volunteer coordinator, and guest services coordinator split event duties. The zoo hosts events throughout the year, ranging from small events like Dream Lights, which invites children with chronic health care needs and their families into the zoo to experience zoo lights, to large events like Boo at the Zoo, which welcomes as many as 16,000 guests into the zoo for free, family-friendly trick-or-treating. The zoo run, which happens every September, relies on over 100 volunteers, and zoo lights requires more than double that number of volunteers. The zoo's current operations staff have watched education and animal care departments grow over the last 5 years, while we have remained stagnant. Events are one of the main sources of revenue for the zoo, and creating new and innovative events would support our DEI goals, not unlike Autism Night at the of Zoo Lights, Black Birders Week event, and more capacity for zoo takeovers, as well as generate new sources of revenue. An events position would also be able to support a new zoo nonprofit when the time comes. Our coordinators are currently running events while simultaneously trying to maintain their own departments. Moving on to the additional part-time zookeepers. last year, we were successful in adding 3 part-time positions to reduce the reliance on limited-term employees at the zoo. The use of limited-term employees has not been reduced. So we're proposing the addition of 2 0.6 zookeepers using $32,400 from the GPR allocated to the full-time education coordinator and $100,000 from the zoo's LTE budget line, making this amendment budget neutral. We call these additional 2 keeper positions. Remind me if I'm going over.
Yeah, you're just under a minute, sorry.
we call this cost to continue since the LTE use is regular throughout the year, and these employees should be earning benefits, not unlike the people who work alongside them. So to provide proper weekend coverage, we're asking that 2 part-time zookeepers be added to zoo staff. Again, the LTE use justifies at least 2 0.6 zookeeper positions. I'll take any questions, or are we doing questions after?
Later.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Next is Mark Thompson, to be followed by Naveng Yang.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Mark Thompson. I am a volunteer and president of the Sun Prairie Food Pantry. I want to start by thanking the Dane County Board of Supervisors for giving me this time tonight and for the work that you do. Ann had provided a very concise overview of Sunshine Place with its array of programs and partner agencies that we have. From my vantage point, when someone is facing food insecurity, oftentimes there are other issues or contributing factors. And I would submit to you that the food pantry is to Sunshine Place what urgent care is to a hospital. 6 days a week, we provide triage and at the same time connect, refer, and collaborate with our partner agencies and programs to provide more comprehensive care. That's the model that Ann spoke of that the county has recognized. Sunshine Place has harnessed the power of over 1,000 volunteers, cultivated a donor base that we often describe as a mile wide and an inch deep, and we've built a reputation as a key player in the county, providing basic needs and real-time solutions for those that are most vulnerable in our county. So we've accepted the challenge to meet the increasing demand that parallels the growth in the county, and we need your support. Perhaps our request is best summed up by what one shopper said to me the other day. That is, thank you for your help. Without it, I don't think we could make it. Thanks again for your time and consideration this evening.
Okay, thank you. Next is Mayvang Yang, to be followed by Carolyn Clow.
My name is Mayvang Yang. These are my clients, and Dwight and Caitlin are my colleagues. And I know that we've been here in the past. The last 4 years, we are staying right here, asking for money. But this time, it's going to be different issue. We are asking you to consider of support and hiring a bilingual, monolingual person to work in with you, so that when we struggle, we, you know, like our financial support resource, we can come into this individual person to help us. I have been working with these elderly people for the last 20 years, and I see that we still continue to struggle, and we still to have lack of support and barrier in our culture because we from a different country and we came to this country. And barrier and, you know, lack of resource in this country is really hard for us. And I understand that I heard rumor, I'm not pinpoint, but I heard rumor that you considered as the Hmong ethnic group in here do not have a need, but we do. We do have a need. I live in Madison for the last 32 years. I probably live here longer than any of you. I graduated from Madison High School. I moved back, I live here for 42 years. And I see that these are my parents, my grandparents, and they are struggle because their husband and their son and their father are served in the Vietnam War. And you see today, we don't have any men because they are gone. So we have female. Yeah, I support, I'm asking you to find an Hmong language support role who can help us to access resource and, you know, support in the community because we are struggling. I remember we lack of support from the county in the past. So I'm pretty sure that this is a very small portion. You guys can, you know, help us to get someone who we need help. We can depend on it. Okay. I prepare a little, you know, speech, but because I'm late, so I forgot my speech in my car. But that's all I can say to you. And I just want to let you know that even myself, I graduated from, you know, college and high school in this country, I'm still struggling. So I understand, you know, all these elderly are struggling and we do need support from you. And today we are here to ask you to hire somebody, an extra person, you know, to help us when we need it. So today we are here because we need your help. And I just want to say thank you to Brenda Yang and all her staff and colleagues, or every one of you, for giving us the opportunities to stand right here in front of you and ask them for your help. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Next is Carolyn Clow, who is online, to be followed by Emerin Geyer. So, promote Carolyn.
Motion. So,
is she promoted?
Promotion was declined, but I've allowed her to speak. Carolyn, are you there?
There she is. She's coming. Just need to unmute. All right, Carolyn, I see you on the screen, so if you can unmute, and you'll have up to 5 minutes to address the board. All right, we'll move on to the next one, see if we can get the next registrant, and we'll come back to Carolyn. We'll try Carolyn after Emeryn again. Emeryn Geyer.
Hi, my name is Emeryn Geyer. I'm the secretary for Local 65, and I'm a skilled laborer at the Dane County Highway Department. Currently, our main building on Fish Hatchery Road uses a facilities management employee to perform janitorial duties along with a combination of outsourcing, as well as the East Side Shop uses fully outsourced labor for those functions. And then our smaller buildings, such as York and Springfield, they have us do the cleaning, which I don't mind doing. You know, if I made the mess, I don't mind cleaning it up. But following facilities management and absorption of two Local 65 members at the Capitol Square parking ramp, we are proposing the creation of a 1.0 janitor for the highway department, costing $100,000. The rationale includes, you know, the geography of the highway department. We have multiple work sites all across the county that are in need of cleaning on a daily to weekly basis. You know, we'd like to see the county reduce its use of outsourced labor. And we believe the proposal will be budget neutral given the department's salary savings due to retirements and other things at the end of the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Emeryn. Okay. Let's see. All right. Lisa, were you able to promote Carolyn? Great, thank you, Carolyn. If you're able to unmute, you can address the board.
I'm with you, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time this evening to hear our comments. My name is Carolyn Clough, I'm village president in the village of McFarland. And I'm here tonight to speak to you about the increase in pet license fees. I don't think this is an issue that you've heard about yet tonight, and I understand from my conversations with Chair Miles, who is the county board supervisor representing McFarland, that this is an issue that is kind of difficult for supervisors to see in specific, but our clerk's office, our village clerk was extremely concerned with the proposed increases to the pet licensing fees for dogs in particular. And our village board last night actually approved a letter for the county board. So I will go ahead and read the letter and then address a few more comments. So this is a letter dated October 8th, 2025. It's from the Village of McFarland board from the county board to the Village of McFarland board. The Village of McFarland officially opposes the proposed increases to the Dane County Public Health's portion for dog licenses. While the village understands the fees must be assessed from time to time, the proposed increase of 36 up to 145.45% is excessive. Village residents have continually remarked how increases in fees at every level are making it challenging for families to afford everyday life. The proposed steep increases at this time are a burden on pet owners and will result in fewer pets being licensed. Additionally, it is not the responsibility of law-abiding pet owners to bear the cost of sheltering unhoused or abandoned animals. This is the responsibility of the entire community. We urge you to author a budget amendment to pull the funds needed for sheltering abandoned animals from other sources and to reduce the amount of the increase to no more than half of what is proposed. On behalf of the Village Board of Trustees of McFarland, Carolyn Clough, Village President. These fee increases for a spayed or neutered dog go from $13.75 currently in 2024 to $18.75 in the proposed 2025. Unspayed or unneutered dog, $18.75 in 2024, $33.75 in 2025. And the people that you're asking to implement these increases are our local clerks who are going to have to administer in November one of the most difficult elections probably in the lifetime of anyone who's alive, and then will be asked to pass along these types of increases to our local residents and to hear the feedback and reaction for that. So I would just encourage you to please take a look at the Public Health Department budget as it relates to these items and to any ordinance proposal for this fee increase, and that you reduce the amount of this increase to something much more reasonable and step it up in an incremental way if that's what needs to happen. And also that the county take on the responsibility of educating the community about the reason for these increases to reduce some of the burden from the local clerks. Thank you very much for your time tonight, and appreciate all of your work on this budget process.
Thank you. Okay, those are our first 10 registrants. So I'm going to pause for a moment here to see if there are questions from any from county board supervisors for any of our speakers. Supervisor Cronin.
Oh. I'm sorry. He said
no. Oh, okay. No questions. Okay. Stop pressing the button. Supervisor Veldren.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Maastricht. No, I just said it wrong, right? Maastricht.
Asterisk.
Now, and I don't know, it might have been something else that Mr. Thompson said. So Sunshine Place is essentially, is it just the food? Is it just the pantry, or is it have the...
It's everything. So it's really this, it's food, it's foods. We have our food pantry, but then we have a food delivery. We have food in our school district. We are servicing food out to Marshall and their school district. And so we have our food programs. We have a free weekly meal. Then we have clothing for kids. We have beds for kids. We have legal services. We have our housing assistance, so navigation services. We have an early childhood zone program on site. And so we are a pantry and way more.
Okay, I
wasn't sure. The food pantry is just our largest program because it's open 6 days a week and has thousands of people coming through.
Right. So where are you now?
We are located on the in Sun Prairie.
Right. I mean, the facility is a...
Oh, right on Main Street.
Is it full? Is it dilapidated? Is it out of space?
Yeah. We have a three-building campus,
okay.
And one of the buildings is in great shape, and we'll keep that one. One of them has to come down. It's an old strip mall. That's the one that's having the roof trouble and the HVAC problems and the plumbing problems. And so through our strategic planning, we determined that would come down. And so then we'll build a new building across Main Street that will connect to the current food pantry building.
So are you partnering with the county on any of these other services you're doing, or?
Well, yes. The county has actually rents space right now from us, and so then co-locates adjoining forces for family person. They contract to have a central Hispano person to service our families that are Spanish speakers. Rise Early Childhood, so we have early childhood programming there. Okay. And then last year you approved in tandem with the city of Sun Prairie to bring a tenant resource center person out.
So they're in there too.
They're in our space. And actually they're in the building that has the leaky roof and the bad plumbing. So we'd like to get better facilities for them.
Obviously.
Yeah.
How many people do you service, would you say? in...
Well, last, what was our...
How many people do you serve in food service?
Over 90,000 acts of kindness, because it's kind of, it's hard when we give out beds and foods and that. So there was over 90,000 acts of service last year, just under our Sunshine Place umbrella. That doesn't include who Joining Forces for Family serves, okay, who Centro Hispano serves, because we don't get those numbers.
Sure.
No. But yeah, we're serving thousands of meals every year, sending out thousands of food with the pounds of food for the food pantry, and then all those other services.
Mm-hmm. And did you say, are you doing shelter too?
We do not do shelter.
Oh, because I thought you said something about beds, and I wasn't just now, because you said something about beds or...
Oh, yeah, we do give out beds.
Oh, okay.
So if we, in the Marshall and Sun Prairie School District, if kids are sleeping on the floor, they get a referral,
right,
then we'll make sure that they get a bed.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else with questions for any of the first 10 speakers? All right, there being no further questions of the first 10 speakers, just want to do a little bit of housekeeping for the person that was providing interpretation services. Thank you. I just want to check, I don't think we have any other registrants wishing to speak that need interpretation. Is that right? Is that correct? Okay. So just to let you know if you need to go. All right.
Mr. Chair, this is Supervisor Wagon. I just have a couple of questions if I could.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks for letting me know. I see you are on the phone. Are you not able to enter that in the chat? Just curious.
Correct. Sorry, I can't.
Yep. Understood. Okay. Your question? And for who?
Yes, for Ann, the last speaker, and then I guess I'll just start with that one, if that's right. Ann, thanks for coming, and thanks for your testimony tonight, and thanks for the opportunity to, you know, get a tour of your facility and appreciate all the work that you guys do. My question about the funding, and I'm excited that we're having this conversation tonight, but can you just lead me to how these funds were originally proposed? I mean, was there an RFP that you participated in, or did the county executive, you know, reach out to a number of folks? I mean, typically when we grant these type of dollars, it's usually through a competitive RFP or something of that nature. So I'm just curious to kind of how we got to this point. And please don't take this as a value judgment on the proposed funding. I'm really just kind of curious to understand the process that led us to having this conversation tonight.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. You know, the whole project is $13 million. And part of that is we, as a small nonprofit, we need lots of different partners. We're looking at grants that we can apply for, and we're working to see our individual donors, our business donors, and government funding is a big part of this too, and especially on a larger scale. We need some partners in that regard. The county has always been a great partner for us, and so we have about five supervisors that represent just Sun Prairie area, but then we did a heat map recently, and I know I shared it with some of you, and our reach truly is across the country, or across the county. Like East Madison is really a hot spot that is coming out to Sun Prairie to get our services. And so we've tried to bring in, like you, Jeff, a lot of the supervisors to come in and advise us on how can we get this done. And so in those conversations, we just determined we really do need the county's help. And then we had
Executive Kuhn.
Thank you. Yep. Executive is the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Jamie Kuhn out and had her for a visit, and she saw the good work that we were doing. And out of those conversations and with supervisors supporting us, we kind of landed on the $2 million out of the $13 million. It would be a great... It would really speak loudly to other agencies, other funders, to know that we have the back of the county and your support.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And if I may, just a quick follow-up. I think your total project, correct me if I'm wrong, Anne, is about roughly $12 million.
Yeah, 13, yep.
Mm-hmm. 13, okay, sorry. Yeah. So this $2 million obviously is just is a piece of that. Can you speak to where you're at with the other funds? And then I guess what would happen if you're not able to secure those other funds? Or could you just speak to kind of how that would play out?
Yeah. You know, we have about $500,000 committed, and then we are, like I said, we're in the middle of a feasibility study, so we're really getting a gauge what is our split between the three buckets, you could say, between government funding and grants and whatnot, and grants and foundations, and then our individual and business donors. And we really anticipate that to be about a third for each of them. And we're getting good feedback from the community. We're getting good feedback from the foundations and grants. We have every reason to believe, Jeff, that we can accomplish this with the with backing like from the county. And from what we're hearing from people is they really respect who we are, what we do, and the impact we're making in the county. And if, you know, I don't think failure is an option here, Jeff. We have to do something. And so we will accomplish this one way or another. If we have to do some unique financing, we might do that. But I think we will be able to get to it through these different buckets that we're looking at doing, Jeff.
Thank you, Ann. And just my last question is, and you and I talked about this prior, I guess if you were, you know, to get this $2 million, would you be open to, you know, starting to measure outcomes in a different way? And I'm not holding you to exactly what those measurements would be, but, you know, just continuing to have a dialogue and a conversation about measuring outcomes. You know, we talk a lot about number of people served, and that's very important, and those are good data points. But really, and I think you mentioned it, we're trying to lift people out of these situations and then getting them back to being productive members of society where they can then contribute then in a meaningful way. So, you know, if you were to be a recipient of these funds, would you be open to having further conversations and really trying to change some of the metrics that we traditionally use when we talk about these initiatives?
Yes, and what this will allow us to do is it brings in, right now, because we're out of space, we don't have the ability to bring in mental health services or these education and employment services that can help lift people out of poverty. And also what we've learned, and the county knows this, United Way knows this, is we need to have case managers working with these families and really helping them work with budgeting, work with financial management, work with getting them stable. And so if we have more space, then we can bring in more programming that allows us to do that kind of thing, which can get you kind of what you're talking about, Jeff. So that ultimately is the goal, if we were to have more space, that we can bring those kinds of additional services to our campus.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
And Mr. Chair, I do have another question, unless there's anyone else in the queue for the speaker from McFarland.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do have somebody in the queue, and I think is Supervisor Weigleitner, is your question for Ann? Okay. Okay. Supervisor Weigand, I'm going to, since Ann is at the dais here, I'm going to let Supervisor Weigleitner ask her question of her, and then we'll come back to you. Yep, getting there. Hold it. There we go. There you go.
Chair Miles, rather. Ann, in your experience, are a lot of the households that you're serving working?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Weigand, you had a question for one of the other speakers.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do apologize, I'm forgetting the speaker's name, but the speaker from McFarland, if she's available. I'm just curious to know. Yes, thank you.
Go ahead with your question.
Okay. Thank you, Caroline, for speaking tonight, and thanks for the testimony. It's good to know that we're getting, you know, feedback from municipal leaders like yourself. Can you just share, you know, what explanation you were given from public health around the need for the dramatic increase in those fees?
I don't think she's online anymore. Is she? Lisa, sorry.
Yeah. I can allow her to talk.
Yeah. Well, I can address the question.
There we go. I'm here, Chair Miles.
Okay, go ahead.
Supervisor Weigand, the way that this communication came to us, it was an email from Wednesday, October 2nd, from the Adam Gallagher and Kay Lund in the Treasurer's Office. The subject was public health budget proposal regarding dogs. Below are the proposed budget changes by public health and contact information for public and direct for county and municipal staff. And then a table of the 2024 actual and 2025 proposed charges and the contacts for public health. And when our treasurer received this information, she was very concerned about the amount of these increases. We reached out quite quickly to Chair Miles to bring this issue to his attention. And he can probably speak to this further when you have the opportunity. I know this is, you know, public hearing right now and not discussion for the board, but it was difficult to find the ordinance amendment that would include these changes is not available to the public at this time. So it wasn't something that we could find as you know, village trustees or village staff. The only information that we had about it was from the treasurer's office. We did some back and forth, our staff did some back and forth with John Hausbach in Public Health Madison Dane County, talking about the reasoning for these increases. I know that they did some research from other communities, but we were told since 2019, there's been a dramatic increase in the cost of sheltering stray, abandoned, and seized animals. There also have been increases in the cost of on-call and overtime for humane officers. So, you know, what we are seeing from the communication that we have to the village is that our residents who are legally licensing their pets and doing that as a public service to the community so that pets are licensed, we can check vaccination status for those pets, are paying for the cost for unsheltered animals in the county. And, you know, we have a concern, a serious concern about what this will do for staff in our clerk staff in the administration office who have to collect these fees. We have a serious concern about the number of village residents who will be willing and able to license their pets at these additional costs. And then that these fees are being passed on from responsible pet owners to pet owners who are, you know, giving up their animals or for whatever other reason, there's stray, abandoned, and seized animals in the community. And that's not the responsibility of our residents.
Thank you, Caroline. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Just to provide a little further explanation that I received from Public Health on this, so the Dane County Humane Society houses stray pets, and they've dramatically increased their price, their cost with public health. And the other thing public health is doing with their fee, they're increasing the cost, the fee of unneutered pets more so than neutered pets to get more in line with what other counties are doing around the state and to, in a way, incentivize folks to have their animals spayed and neutered. So, so that was some of the explanation I got for why for unneutered pets or not spayed pets is increasing considerably more than neutered. So, all right, any further questions of any of our speakers so far? All right, not seeing anyone further back to the registrations. Our next speaker will be Travis Thomas, to be followed by looking at Susan Vang, who is online.
Thank you, Chair. Hello, everyone. My name is Travis Thomas. I'm treasurer of AFSCME Local 65. I'm also an employee at the Dane County Airport. I'm going to get back to budget stuff again, and this is a request for adding some positions at the Alliant Energy Center. The Dane County Alliant Energy Center, AEC, has a need for more full-time regular professional staff. AFSCME Local 65 is requesting a mechanics position 1.0 to further reduce reliance on outsourced labor. As it is right now, there is no mechanic at the AEC. So if a forklift breaks down or there's some issue with a tractor, they actually have to wait for whatever company they contract with to come out and fix it. And if you're having a quick turnaround of a major event, that's very problematic when we could have a position there doing the exact same thing, which is the way it was prior to the pandemic. We think that would help a lot with the AEC functions and the day-to-day operations of events. Despite a past 2003 resolution 387 to help explore availability of non-AEC staff in the county to do work out there custodial-wise, there will be a request we see for surge cleaning at the AEC by a third-party company. Local 65 has pledged not to oppose this decision, provided the addition of two more center workers to help with the department's new scheduling efforts. They're going to a set schedule of first shift and second shift for the first time. They need more full-time employees to help, put the schedules together and have enough people on each schedule to work events. We think the center workers position would be very helpful for the major events especially, but the fact of the matter is a lot of events are coming back in a hurry at AEC and they need more staff. In total, Local 65 is requesting a creation of one mechanic that will cost $110,000 using reductions in budget lines dedicated to repairs and using various companies now to do the work that one mechanic would be able to do. We're also asking for the addition of two center workers. We understand with the budget constraints that this is a tough ask, so we were requesting that these center workers not be hired prior to 7/1/25. So hiring them halfway through the year at that savings to kind of offset the price, or offset the cost, excuse me. It would be roughly $74,000 of that after using what we would request $30,000 from any future contracts for outsourced cleaning. That number that is being requested or will be requested could be reduced by $30,000, and that would offset that price dramatically. The bottom line is the AEC is back. There's a lot of events going on there. You saw it 2 weeks ago. They're setting up for World Dairy Expo. It's by far and away the biggest event the county hosts every year. And within 48 hours, they're told that they kind of have to drop everything because there's a major political event about to happen at the AEC where over 12,000 people are going to attend. And those workers were able to pull that off without a hitch. If we want the AEC to continue to be the great event location that it is for this county and the outstanding financial vehicle it has been for this county, these are positions that are required to keep that moving forward. So thank you. Have a good night.
Hey, our next speaker is Susan Vang, to be followed by Nathan Smith.
Hello.
Welcome, Susan. You have up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Okay, so hello, everyone. I'm here to speak in support of the budget for Hmong interpreter. I am a student and researcher at UW-Madison. I was born in a refugee camp to parents who are refugee themselves who do not speak, write, or understand English. And as we know from history, people of color do not receive the adequate support that they are entitled to because the system is set up to challenge them. Specifically, the Hmong people have been treated as if they serve no importance in building this country. And an example of this are those who want to reallocate the funds to away from the Hmong community. That said, the language barrier made navigating systems that are based primarily on English and white-centered incredibly challenging and traumatic for me. And if my parents had access to a Hmong interpreter, it would have helped us understand and utilize available resources and support without struggling. Unfortunately, that was not the case. In addition, I want to say this because I don't think anyone has yet to say this, but I recognize the needs of other communities, but addressing those needs should not come at the expense of any other community. Taking away this opportunity for the Hmong people creates division between the different groups and suggests that the Hmong people are somehow less deserving of representation. Instead, we should advocate for increased support for all communities and or groups without limiting or blocking opportunities. Earlier, I mentioned that navigating the system was difficult for me, but it was challenging for my parents as well. Having a Hmong interpreter can alleviate the burden placed on Hmong parents and their children and those children's children. This illustrates that someone as simple as a Hmong interpreter can make life so much easier for the Hmong families. And this begins at the systematic level with representation, which can combat the poverty that Hmong people are facing. And if you are still against this idea of using the budget for a Hmong interpreter, I want you to ask yourself, why would you want to make life harder for Hmong children, elders, and families? And so to conclude, I believe that providing an accessible Hmong interpreter not only empowers marginalized groups, but also serves as an example of how to support communities effectively. Thank you.
All right, next will be Nathan Smith, to be followed by Marie Yarak, who is online.
Thank you, Board Supervisors, for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Nathan Smith, Ask Me Local 65, here to present the last budget amendment to the operating budget for the airport that Ask Me 65 is presenting tonight. 65 prioritizes the additional labors at Dane County Airport over the proposed five management positions in the executive's recommendation. One of those positions is for the airfield. Last year, we supported the terminal maintenance manager position that was managing 34 people, I believe. So a second one would be about 1 to 17. Now they're asked the management for 18 people at airfield, so it'd be a 1 to 9. The other four positions they are requesting, it's still unclear if they're M-class or P-class. Instead, we would actually propose the addition of a airport maintenance crew leader. In the winter months, the airfield splits their crew in half so they can get better snow coverage over a 24-hour period. And there's a crew leader that goes to the second shift, but there is no crew leader on the first shift, so we're proposing a crew leader for both shifts. We're also proposing the addition of three skilled laborers, range 14. The crew leader is a cost of $133,500. The three skilled laborers would be a total of $323,400. We still regard this as budget neutral because the elimination of the five positions, those totaled $632,600. We learned a couple weeks ago at Public Works and Transportation that the airport's doing quite well. They got down to about 40 million, 40 to 50, I think they said, during the pandemic with the reserve fund. It's now up to about 90 million. We feel it's time to invest in some labor positions, and we feel these positions are greatly needed.
Thank you. All right, next will be Marie Yarak online.
He's been promoted.
Hey.
Welcome, Marie. You have up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me speak here tonight. My name is Marie Yarrow, and I'm a crisis worker from Dane County Crisis with the Journey Mental Health Center. I am the vice president of our Ask Me Local 125 Journey Employee Union, and I've been employed by Journey for about 4.5 years. I would like to thank you all for the investments that you've made in the Journey Mental Health Center and ask you to continue to support us with additional funding increases in this year's budget. I was a direct witness to the positive impact of the additional funding provided to Journey in 2024. I watched how this benefited Journey as a whole and more specifically benefited the Dane County Crisis Unit. The funds assisted us with attracting new staff to our team and a noticeable growth in ability to provide care and services to our community members in a mental health crisis, as well as their family, friends, and loved ones who are navigating how to assist. It supported the goal of having an ability to have an alternative response to law enforcement for mental health crises and less trips to the emergency room when not absolutely needed. The funding allowed Journey's hardworking Journey clinicians and our other programs to receive a needed salary increase as well. Journey's programming includes our emergency services unit, our higher level of care community support programs, and comprehensive community services programming, as well as the clinical assessment unit, a clubhouse, and outpatient services. Although the additional funding assisted with reaching these goals further, it also remains true that we continue to not have the staffing and resources we need at Journey. Journey continues to see poor staff retention leading to understaffing, wage compression, and staff who have only worked at Journey for less than 2 years. These are programs who are caring for many of our clients who are under our Chapter 51 court orders and our community's most vulnerable and high-risk clients. This is directly impacting our clients' course of care and is increasing the amount of use of resources for involuntary return to the hospitals for clients under Chapter 51 court orders, psychiatric hospitalizations, and risk of increased incarceration rates. The lack of funding is also impacting our efforts to pursue having a 24/7 mobile response as a crisis worker to and our overall ability to respond to our county's crisis needs for home visits and other interventions. As the population who is in crisis continues to grow. In result, this continues to lead to a higher rate for the need for ER visits or law enforcement contact when it may have been avoided. We are asking you to increase funding for staff salaries, for increased funding for the POS agency Journey Mental Health Center. This will help clients maintain stability and independence in the community, allow us to better divert and de-escalate crisis situations, and reduce the utilization of higher cost services such as hospitalizations and incarcerations. Additional funding is needed to match the growth of the population and need for services. No funding will ultimately lead to the erosion of the progress that was made in the 2024 budget. It will help with staff retention, resulting in more trusting and successful relationships and care with our clients. Increased funding will also enable us to continue to pursue our goals for the desired crisis care that our community deserves and needs. Thank you for considering the investment and for the investments you've already provided. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Maria. And I'm sorry I mispronounced your name before. That concludes the registrations I have before me. So any questions for the last four speakers? All right. Seeing no questions of any of our speakers, thank you all for your input. And if there's no other business as allowed by law, is there a motion to adjourn? Moved by Udell, seconded by Wegleitner. If there's no objection, we're adjourned. Thank you all. We'll see you tomorrow evening.